Welcome back, Cosmic Fam, to another episode of The Cosmic Circle, the official podcast of The Cosmic Circus, where we discuss everything nerdy in the entire cosmos. On today's episode, we're going to boot up our pit boys, open up an ice-cold Nuka-Cola, trek out of the cramped vaults and onto the devastated wasteland of Fallout, the hit series on Prime Video. My name is Anthony Flagg, one of the writers of The Cosmic Circus, and joining me today are Drew Reed and Cameron Brooke.
Hi guys, glad to be here in the Fallout podcast.
Hey guys, I'm Drew. Glad to be here too.
Fallout is a gaming franchise set in a post-apocalyptic universe after a nuclear war has devastated the entire United States. Meanwhile, the government was secretly working with Vault-Tec in preparation for this to happen. They made many numbered vaults across the country, each with their own distinct experiment or program, to determine the best course of action to repopulate the surface once radiation levels came down to a more tolerable level. Initially, the first few games were set on the West Coast, and then after Bethesda took over the IP, they moved it to the Eastern Seaboard. Now, Jonathan Nolan was very important on this project, and I think he was a perfect choice with his previous credits on the Dark Knight film and The Dark Knight Rises and working on Westworld series. So let's start off, guys. First things first. How much do you know about Fallout? How much of the games have you played?
So I haven't played the games at all, actually. This was kind of my first dive into the world. Before this, I knew nothing about I knew nothing about Fallout, so I was kind of really going into this fresh, and I was pleasantly surprised.
What about you, Cameron? Have you played them?
I have not. I was one of those people that like always heard about it in the background, and I like watched a few sort of YouTube videos about like some of the vaults and all of the kind of experiments and stuff. So I had like a little inkling about what kind of things Fallout was about, but I'd like never played a game, never experienced like any of the stuff. So watching the show was like the first proper time I was in the world, and then yeah, hooked from the start. That's all I can say.
That's crazy to me because I played a lot of the games. I think between Fallout 3, New Vegas, and 4, I'm somewhere in the 300 to 400 hour range. They're massive RPGs. There's so much to do in them. It's not just the main quest, because when you play through the games, there's different outcomes depending on what you do throughout. So many people will go and play it multiple times and side with the different factions, you know. Like as you see in the show, there's the vaults, there's a Brotherhood of Steel, you know, and then you have the ghoul who's kind of operating independently. And similar to that, you can go and determine how the ending goes by what you do, who you side with, who you go against. That's actually a big thing. So my next question for you guys is, what do you think of the episode titles? The pilot was named The End, and then the finale was named The Beginning. So what are your thoughts on that?
So to be honest, I didn't really pay attention to the episode titles when I was watching. I guess it was just something that didn't really catch my eye, but when you mentioned that the first was the end and the last episode was the beginning, it kind of makes a lot of sense, honestly, based on like, you know, the story. I really like how like half of the show was like telling the story of like how we got to that point, kind of not necessarily how you got to that point, just what kind of led to everything, and you know, with like Vault-Tec and Cooper and all that. And I think that the episode titles, I think it makes a lot of sense. I don't know. the end, like I like how like the very first scene is the end. Like you see, like I really love that scene. I think everybody really loved that scene, and it really set like the tone for like the show. And then kind of like the last like episode where, you know, it ends kind of like on like, I would say, you know, like it's kind of, it is the beginning for them. They're kind of like, you know, really like just starting out in this world. So I think it worked really well.
Let me pose you a second question before you go at Cameron. So like I just said, you know, the end, the beginning, do y'all think that that finale is almost just the beginning for Lucy, for the ghoul, for Maximus?
Oh yeah. I mean, for sure. It kind of seems like I had never played the games, but it seems like, there's still a lot to learn, and there's still a lot to see and like adventure. Like, you know, at the end, like, you know, spoilers, but it looks like, you know, we said that they're going to go to New Vegas, and I've never played Fallout New Vegas, so I honestly have no idea like anything about it, but, you know, I do think it's more so the beginning for them.
How do you feel about that, Cameron?
Yeah, I agree in a lot of ways. Like, I feel like at the sort of end of the show, like, and presume we're talking spoilers, with the whole of Los Angeles finally getting power, it's like sort of an, in a way, like a new beginning for like the whole world. Like, that's finally a place where people could come to and like live because it's got power, it's got all of this that all the vaults have. Like, people can come back and sort of start fresh. But obviously, with the Brotherhood of Steel like taking over the whole place, it's like, will people want to go there and everything? And yeah, I really enjoyed, like, because I did know about sort of New Vegas from the title of one of the games. So it'd be exciting to see what happens there, because I don't know too much else about it other than seems to be where all the evil Vault-Tec leaders live, maybe. So it'll be exciting to see what happens with that.
And before I bring up the next thing, I did fail to do a spoiler mention. We typically do that in the beginning. Sorry, this is my first time hosting. But this next question is definitely going to be a spoiler. So if you haven't seen the show, I'm warning you right now. But as you guys have both mentioned, neither of you have played the games. But how did you feel there in those final episodes when you got the whole behind the curtain and you realized, oh my God, Vault-Tec are definitely not good guys? I knew it was coming. I've played enough of the games. Vault-Tec has never been a good guy, but the way they presented it in the show, I was like, wow, that's a hell of a way to really just, drive forward that these guys are not actually as good as they seem. I mean, and you should be, skeptical. They're working with the government. But how did you guys feel when they said, hey, if they don't drop the bombs, we will?
Yeah, I mean, that whole sort of boardroom scene was very sort of reminiscent of like Star Wars in a way, with like all the Empire talking about the Death Star, and it kind of felt like they were doing the same. And obviously, like with all of the getting ideas and trying to get as much money as possible before the sort of world ends, you know. I mean, the whole last episode for me was just like my jaw every 5 minutes had to keep pushing it back up. Because it just dropped, like it was like reveal after reveal after reveal, and it's like now they've done that, it's like everything's out in the open. And it'll be really exciting to see where they go next with all of that.
Yeah, I was kind of the same that last episode. I mean, I kind of got like the hint that like Hank was gonna be like somebody who had been around before like the apocalypse or like all the new or like the bombs dropped. But then you kind of get that reveal that like everybody, like Betty included, like a lot more people than we thought were around like before this. Like I was even
Reward.
kind of surprised that what's his name? The
Hank?
ghoul's name, yeah.
Oh, Cooper Howard.
Yeah, I was surprised by how much of a backstory we got on him and just like how integral he was to what happened before. Like like, 'cause it, I guess it kind of like just posed him as like a simple bounty hunter. Like didn't really,
Yeah.
like I know the first scene was like the nuke scene, like the very first scene. And I thought that was just kind of going to be like, just like a very brief, like showing what happened beforehand. I didn't think we were going to get like a super like in-depth like look. And that was honestly my favorite part of the show, is like getting a look at everything before and how it kind of juxtaposes like what's happening in the present, like during the show. And that was probably one of my favorite parts of the show. And I think that made the ghoul, like, his name's Cooper Howard, right? I don't want to like
No, you
that,
got
that's his
it.
name. Yeah, okay. I was like, I don't want to say his name wrong. But I think that made him like my favorite character, just because you see like how much personality he had before this happened and how you can kind of see some of his personality coming back through Lucy. And like their like friendship beginning kind of in a way. And I think Walton Goggins definitely gives the best performance in the show. So yeah, he was my favorite character, and I just really appreciated like the backstory with him and Vault-Tec. And it's kind of it was kind of easy to see that Vault-Tec was going to be like the villains of the show. I guess you can kind of see that coming, but the way that they revealed it worked really well, and that kind of made the whole show, I would say.
You did me a solid because I was actually about to ask. My next question was, who was your favorite character? So I've got your answer. Cameron, give me yours. Who was your favorite character in the
My
show?
favorite has to be Lucy. I mean, I know she's like the main character, whatever, but I just feel like the whole sort of, I love when characters are put in a different situation, and then by the end of the show, they're like this heart. Well, she's not exactly hardened, but she's a lot more sort of worldly than she was at the beginning. And I really like that. I feel like it's almost as if you're like playing the game for the first time. Like if she was a game character, this is how you'd like progress. Like you have to do all these horrible things and like interact with all these characters and like learn who's your friend and who's not. So I really enjoyed the whole of Lucy's thing and like learning. I also really enjoyed her brother. I thought the whole Vault 33 storyline was really well done. And like, obviously with the reveal at the end that all the Vault 31 like overseers are just Vault Tech staff that have been left, I felt like that was really interesting as well.
Yeah, that was great.
So yeah.
Yeah, I'd say Lucy was definitely my favorite as well. Since, you know, most of the games you start off in the vault and make your way out, I felt like this was the most true to, what's the word here, true to the journey that you have in the games. You know, you start off all naive, because the first time I played Fallout 3, I knew nothing. My friend's like, you got to play this game. And when you start the game, you literally go through the steps as a kid. You're a baby, then you're a 10-year-old, and then you're 18 all of a sudden. Your dad breaks out of the vault, and you have to go out there and find him. I didn't know what was beyond the vault. My friend was just like, here, just play this. Handed me the Xbox 360 controller. So I'm making my way out, and then I step out of the vault, and I'm like, what the hell is this? Everything looks crappy. Everything is burnt to hell. What happened? So seeing a character go through the exact same thing that I did for the first time was really neat. And Lucy's upbeat nature, even through it all, really was inspiring, because she had to come to terms with, hey, my dad is not only bad, but he's the reason I lost my mom. Hey, I've made my way out here before. My dad's been lying to me my whole life. And yet she didn't say, okay, I'm going to go back to the vault and hide. I'm going to go move on to the next thing. I was really surprised that in the end she decided to team up with Cooper Howard, but you know, I can't wait for a second season to see where they go with that.
Yeah, so, I definitely liked her catchphrase as well. Every time she's had to do something harrowing, yeah, it's just okie dokie, like she just gets on with it. And I feel like that's very, I really enjoyed that.
That was a good call out. I did like the okie dokie, even when at the worst of moments, she would still say it. So there was power armor, vault suits, junk jets, Kim's, supply stores. I mean, they ripped everything out of the game. From what I understand, at one point, what they did was they exported the assets from Fallout 4 and used that so that they could go and recreate everything as true as it was to the games. So what do you guys think of the view of the power armor, the sets, the vaults? I mean, hell, one of my favorite bits was when Lucy was standing on that ship, because they had to go out to Namibia. I hope I pronounced that correct, to the Skeleton Coast, which is pretty remote, to go and get that awesome shot of having the ocean meeting a desert. So what do you guys think of the sets and of all of the location shots?
So funny enough, I had kind of noticed that was like Namibia, because in Dune Part 2, they actually have they actually went to Namibia and did the same exact thing. So I had seen that before this, and I was like, oh, that looks really similar. And then it turns out that it was Namibia, and I didn't know that while I was watching. That's a funny, funny reference. But I really appreciate like lore and like just like richness and uniqueness and originality. And I feel like this game has, or like this show and the game world has a lot of that. It feels very original and unique and just interesting. And I think that it's kind of like has ideas that I don't know if people in modern day could have the creativity to create, essentially. This was created, 1997? So a lot of these ideas are, you know, almost 30 years old now. But it definitely has a lot of, like, it definitely has, like, creativity and richness that is kind of lacking in a lot of TV shows these days. And I think that's what made the show so interesting, was that there was just so much lore and so much information to learn. And it really puts you in a different world. I think that's what drew a lot of people to this, is just how unique it was and how they were able to make that super interesting. It wasn't Like you could introduce a bunch of stuff and it could end up being boring, but this was all very interesting. And I found every new piece of information that we learned to be really interesting. And it did make me want to play the game just because I feel like I want to learn more about the world and kind of understand things because, obviously they don't tell you everything in season one. You get like pretty much a lot of information, but I would assume they don't tell you everything. So I feel like there's still a lot to learn too, which is going to help out the future seasons.
Yeah, I absolutely enjoyed the whole sort of retro futurism of like the past scene set in the past with like, Vault Tech and like all the old fashioned black and white TVs that they still have. I felt like that was a really interesting part of the whole show because it's like, I think I did some reading about it after the show, and it's like the when they first made Fallout, they went back and looked at like what people in the 50s or something thought what the future would look like. So obviously you've got like the robot waiters, you've got like these fancy cars that run on cold fusion or whatever, and you've got all of this, exciting stuff. And I really enjoyed all of that. And I really like all like the costuming. I thought that was really well done as well, especially like in the past and both and also in the like with the Ravagers and all of like all of that kind of thing. And the vault suits just look like they're straight out of the game, like there's no difference to them, and it's the same with every other vault. And yeah, really enjoyed Vault 4 as well with all the weird experiment people. I thought that was a really funny part. And yeah, that's my yeah.
It is kind of funny how like Vault 4 you thought that they were gonna like I really did think that they were gonna be bad people. I mean, they are kind of weird. Like they were kind of I don't know if you would call them bad. They're just were kind of weird, I guess. But like I guess it was supposed to be like a kind of it was supposed to show you like how different like cultures are different and stuff like that, and not to judge right away. And I think that
I
was
think.
like I think that was a good story, and I kind of like presented it in a really unique way. Because they presented it like they were going to be bad people, but they were just different, and I think that I appreciated that story, I guess. It kind of like teaches you like, hey, we shouldn't like judge right away, I guess, before you like learn everything. So yeah, I appreciated the Vault 4 story. It wasn't like my favorite episode, I'll say, but I like that you bring up the Vault 4 stuff because I did find that to be really interesting.
When you guys play the games, because I feel like you're going to at some point, you're going to notice
Absolutely.
how, I wouldn't say common, but how it happens quite a bit. I'll mention one right now, the Children of Atom, ATOM, not ADAM. When you guys experience that, you'll be like, I see what he meant. There is a bunch of little facts and sections that go and just find something and attach themselves to it. So when they did the Vault 4 one, I was like, man, they totally got it. This is exactly the sort of thing I was expecting to see at some point. Vault 4 was very interesting. I'm glad you guys brought it up because, like I said in the beginning, all the different vaults had their own different experiments. And, Vault 4's was to go and try to essentially make humans radiation proof or resistant. I don't know how you want to put it, but very interesting how at some point it went really, really bad for them to the point where the experiments lashed out and attacked them. And those were the scientists from that one promotional scene with Cooper Howard, where he's like, no, you're the real heroes, blah, blah, blah. So it took me, I didn't immediately catch it. I think on the second time, I'm like, oh, those are the scientists. I felt really bad for them because they had set out a really good objective for themselves, but never actually got to do it. And then when you find out their fate, you feel really bad for them. Sort of, because you're like at the same time, they're still doing some messed up stuff to other people.
Yeah, it also made you think that they were doing like the testing. They were like mutating these people. They like set it up to that, and then it kind of like shows you that they weren't. They were just trying to help them.
Yep. From what I understand, that Vault 4 was just accepting rejects from the surface. Since we're on the topic of Vault 4, this actually brings me to my next question. They're praising and worshiping Moldaver. It makes you wonder how long did she live? Because she was Lee before, and yet she was still alive there. Until the finale, but she was still around. So, do you think she was cryo frozen? What are your theories on how she managed to stay alive for so long?
The good thing is that they left a lot of story from before, kind of untouched. They ended on, I think that I'm trying to think what the last flashback scene was. Was the last
think it
flashback scene
was
was
the meeting, wasn't
the
it, or
boardroom?
something? Yeah.
They never showed what came after that, so I feel like there's still a pretty good distance between like when the bombs dropped and when that
Yeah, because
ended. So I feel
he's.
like you probably have a lot more like, you know, they never showed them get it like Cooper and his wife getting divorced and stuff like that. So you never saw what like where did Cooper know Moldaver better? Like, did he join like their group? I think it was like the communists or something like that. So I feel like in the second season, we'll probably get a lot more like information on that and how Moldaver like, you know, lived for so long and I guess all that.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't
because
know. Did they
obviously.
Could Moldaver be a ghoul like and just never like got killed or something like that? I'm not sure. What do you think?
Yeah, because obviously there's the big mystery of where Cooper's family is, because that's who he's looking for. So it's like, was she with them? Did she know before she died? Yeah, and I do feel like obviously there's a lot of past stuff as well to get mystery. Wise, like open in the air, sort of how did they get the family get into the vault? Because obviously Cooper's wife was going to be in one of the really sort of really nice ones, which could have been Vault 31 for all we know. Like she might be in one of those cryo tubes. It's sort of, yeah, but yeah, it's just sort of really interesting to find out.
Yeah, I guess Moldaver isn't a ghoul because she died by a gunshot wound, right?
Correct.
I mean,
Yeah.
that's that. I just realized that now. Yeah, I'm still learning all the
It's okay.
rules
That's what
and
makes it
stuff.
fun. This is what makes it fun for me. I mean, like I get to talk about it with you guys and at the same time
Yeah,
try
because
to
I'm intrigued with that Brotherhood of Steel guy that Maximus, like, he cho drank that random potion from that weird
Thaddeus?
chick. Yeah,
Well,
weird
he's
that
a
weird
man.
chicken. That chicken guy, and then ended. They say he's becoming a ghoul now, so I'm interested to see what happens with him because he can
Oh
just, like,
man.
yeah.
Well, since we're talking about ghouls, let's talk about a little bit. How did y'all enjoy kind of seeing the different facets of ghoul? Because you have the ghoul, you know, Cooper Howard, and he's totally cognitive. He's able to do a lot and he's very capable of so much. But then you have that scene in the Super Duper Mart where you have the feral ghouls. When you guys play the games, you'll find out. But you have regular ghouls that can talk normal and everything, and you have feral ghouls, like the ones that attack Lucy and the two guys on the couch. So then you had that one lady who was kind of like leaning towards it, and then she kind of at the end gave out. So what do you think about ghouls as a concept altogether?
Yeah, I
Yeah, I think.
enjoyed the scene. I think it's in like episode 3 or something where they go into that house and one of Cooper's friends is there and he's like half turning, so he gets shot in the head to not like let him suffer as like a feral ghoul. So I think it's really interesting to that they can like stop themselves, but if they run out of whatever they have to drink or take or whatever, there's a lot. Yeah.
Fun fact, that little liquid, that's a first. It's not anything I've ever seen
Okay.
present in the game. So that kind of got me. I'm like, what is he consuming? And then you realize that he's doing it to keep himself from growing feral. So that's a n new addition, just so y'all know.
Yeah, I was curious if that's a thing in the game, but yeah, it's kind of like remind me of the Maze Runner. I think in Maze Runner there's like a, oh man, what, I forgot like what the name of it is, but they get like sick and they turn into like a zombie, but they're kind of like leaning back and forth between it where they're a zombie and they're a person, and that kind of reminded me of that a little bit. But yeah, I think like I said, you know, the originality, the uniqueness, with like the ghouls and all that stuff is really interesting. I would like to see more about like how Cooper became a ghoul, because like he obviously survived the bombs somehow, which I don't really understand how he did. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he did. Like, would you say that he survived the bombs, Red?
That's kind of the thing. I mean, you could say yes. I mean, he's alive and everything, but how much is survival and how much is really just existing, right? He's alive, but is he really living the life? His introduction, as you recall, was he was buried. You know, he wasn't walking around and everything. He was buried. They had, it looked like two different Raditz or Radaways were feeding through like an IV into him. So how long was he down there? And he knows a lot of people. Like he mentioned in one character, the characters that were digging him out. He was like, yeah, he used to work with my dad. And that guy already was kind of aged up. So very curious what he's been up to
Yeah,
this
it
whole
seemed
time.
like they dug him up every, I think they said they dug him up every 30 years or something and like chopped a bit more of him off or had
Yeah.
something. So
Yeah, I would
obviously there
like to
must be.
see. Yeah, I would like to see more of his origin after like everything happened. I hope that they kind of get into that because I think that's interesting too. But obviously they do have a lot of ground to cover, like in the before, like before the bombs. So we'll see. But I am interested, like, as it kind of does pick up randomly with him. I think you're just kind of like from the trailers, you're just kind of like expected to just pick up with this guy. Like you're not really expecting a backstory on how he became this guy, even though they give you a backstory of what happened before, but they don't give you a backstory of how this guy like became like the ghoul like he is. So I hope we get that eventually, even if it's just some small bits. I do hope we get that.
Something tells me that's going to be a big thing for season two, since they already kind of discovered the whole history of why everything happened. They're probably going to dig into those characters. So I don't know if you guys caught it every time, but in the opening when they showed the title, they had different effects. I thought that was one of the coolest things you could ever do because they were also related to what was happening per episode. So like when they were with the gulper, it was bubbling up, and when what was the other one that really got me? There was the one that got shot up with a bunch of bullets, the one with the sand, and then the one that had like the terminal look, like the green. I was very happy with that. And I know it's such a tiny thing, but then to pair it with the ending credits that were also always different, that was just beautiful that they did it for each episode. I did not expect that at all.
I like that they did the locations as well at the end, like of the episode. Like you got the areas where they'd like traveled and everything, and like you know the very end one, you got like the sign for New Vegas
Yeah, there
and
was
all
even
of
a
that. That was,
Securitron.
yeah.
What do you think,
Yeah,
Drew?
no, yeah. So I definitely noticed that. I definitely noticed the episode. Like the title card would change every episode. I also really liked the end credits. I honestly, there was a couple times where I watched them because I thought they were really interesting, just like the graphics of it. But I guess there's a lot of little details that I probably missed out on just because I guess at the time I just didn't understand them. So like it's probably like I feel like this is a good show to go back and do like a rewatch on, especially if you just play the games like for the first time now. Like if you pick up on all these things and then you go back and like I'll probably pick up on so many more like little things that I just never knew about because there's just too much to know on the first watch
I'm so
or
glad
too
you
much
said that
unknown.
because one of my favorite quotes in the whole series, and I apologize, there's going to be a swear word in here, but the ghoul says something that anyone that's even spent 5 hours playing the game totally gets. And he goes, you know, the golden rule is thou shalt not get sidetracked by random bullshit. My God, I have never heard truer words. You will find yourself just like, huh, what is that thing over there? And then next thing you know, you forgot about the main quest because you're so deep into side quests. There were so many Easter eggs for the game gamers that played it, and I'm really excited for you guys to go back and revisit those because then you're gonna be like, ah, that's that thing and that other thing. Like Norm, when he's going to hack the PC, that's how you hack PCs in the game. Really, the only thing that I found truly unbelievable about this series is that he got it on the first try. Usually it takes like two or three tries. I mean, like his luck skill must be at 10 or something, but then it, you know, dips down to a one there when he has to get cryo freezed. So this kind of trying to segue to the next thing where one thing that is just beautiful and a staple of the series is the music. All those songs you heard, Johnny Cash, Ink Spots, 50s, 60s. In the games, your Pip-Boy has a radio, and that radio can be tuned to a couple stations in the games, and they play that music. I was like really hopeful that they would do it, and they went above and beyond. They got a bunch of the most popular songs from the games, but they even made a playlist. If you go to Amazon Music, they actually made a playlist, and you can listen to it all. And And the other thing they did, which was very surprising to me, was the radio scene where they had the cameo from Fred Armisen. In Fallout 4, there is a radio station that plays music like that that drives people crazy. And I'm so glad that they not only acknowledged it, but made fun of it. What did you guys think of the music in the show?
Well, I will just say about the scene, I absolutely love that there's just so many dead bodies strewn around the whole thing as if people were trying to clamor to get the music to stop, because I imagine those sort of violins and all of that classical music would drive people crazy. But yeah, I really, really enjoyed, like, because obviously my dad's quite into his 60s music and all of that thing, so I did know a lot of the songs, but it was so good to hear it in that setting, like in the past, sort of future past and the actual future. It was done really well, I think, and I did really like the actual score as well. I think it's from the Game of Thrones guy, so I enjoyed like the mixture of that and the actual Fallout score that was underneath as well.
Yeah, they did a good job there. The scene where Lucy's in Vault 4 and she puts her hands on the NCR flag, they're playing the main Fallout theme. I'm not even kidding. I got goosebumps when that happened because I was like, it's just three piano notes. That's it. One, two, three. And it encapsulates everything, like, because at that point, that's when things are starting to click for her. And man, I just, that part always gets me.
Yeah, I did notice that on like some of the Amazon X-ray things, it was like themed from Fallout 4 and stuff and all of that. So I enjoyed that as well, that they use an actual the game music. It sort of helped the coherence between the games and the show, which was
Absolutely.
very good.
What'd you think of the tracks, Drew?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate a good score. You talk about movies like Oppenheimer and Dune and stuff, and I think music is so important. I think as an adult, I've noticed that in movies that like the score really enhances a show and it really sets a tone and a vibe, and it sets like yeah, like I said, it really sets like the vibe of the show, and it really does so much for a show or a movie. And I think in this instance, it really kind of helped to set the retro futurism kind of vibe. And I really appreciate that. I appreciate a good score. And I think this show definitely had it. I think the music, it didn't always use like original. It used a lot of like older music, I think, like 50s, 60s music. But I think everything that they used, it never felt out of place. It always kind of felt like it fit with the scene really well. And so I think the musical arrangement works really nicely for the show, and it definitely like enhances the show, I guess is the word I was looking for. It definitely enhances it.
Absolutely. So there in the finale, Barb kind of has a moment where she's talking as they're unveiling like the big thing. And she says the line, right? War never changes. When you play the games, there's always like a little intro video, and Ron Perlman is usually the voiceover, and he says those lines. How did you guys feel about the impact and delivery of that line?
I mean, I didn't know the significance of the line at the time, so it kind of came across as like it came across as significant to their purpose, I would say, and to like what their ideals, like their ideology is. I think that that sentence kind of highlights what their ideology is. But I'll be honest, I didn't really know the significance of it until you told me about it. So I'm sure when I play the games, it'll feel a lot more significant. I'll probably rewatch the show. I'll definitely rewatch the show probably before season two comes out, whenever that it should be in like probably hopefully under 2 years, because it's getting kind of tiring to wait for 2 years for a show.
I agree.
Yeah, luckily they were quick with announcing season two though, like it was like a week after it dropped
Oh
something,
yeah.
so
Yeah,
shouldn't be too
but
long.
I yeah. Yeah, but honestly, I forgot what we were talking
Just the line
about.
war never changes. Cameron, what do you think of that line?
Yeah, I mean, I had heard of it before watching the show. Like, I must have watched some videos about it or something. But yeah, like in the moment with where they just were talking about dropping the bombs themselves, I think it was like really sort of well done that that's where they put the line in, instead of just having like Cooper say it randomly in the middle of the show or something. Like, they definitely waited for the right moment to use like the B line sort of thing. So I thought that was really well done in that regard.
Absolutely. And since we were just talking about the renewal, with the drop, how do you guys feel that they released all the episodes in one go? I personally, this is not going to be a fan favorite, but I hated it. I really wish they would have done a week by week, at least, you know, do 2-3 episodes and then weekly after. Now, yeah. Looking back at history, they did that with The Boys and Invincible Seasons 1. They just released all of it in one go. So I understand why they did that. They're putting it out there, getting feelers for it. But it's just so funny to me because when they gave me the screeners, I wasn't even allowed to say I had the screeners. They were like, keep your mouth shut. I think they knew they had a hit. They just wanted to be sure of it. So I'm a little disappointed that they released it in one go, because imagine the conversation and discussion week per week trying to determine everything versus everyone rushing to the end, finding out New Vegas is the final cutting scene, the Shady Sands being nuked. Those dominated the discussions. Do you think the discussions would have been a little bit more intriguing on a week-to-week basis?
Absolutely. I think when I was watching it myself, I was like, because I've split it into 2 episodes a day. And because when I was watching, like, I got to a cliffhanger and I was like, oh my God, I really want to watch the next one. And I feel like a lot of people would have just done that. But if it was weekly, I feel like those cliffhangers at the end of a lot of the episodes would have hit home a lot more, and there would have been a lot more discussion, I think. But I mean, you know, I did enjoy it like as a whole thing. And I feel like a lot of people, they like you say, that when they do a season 2, hopefully they'll do it weekly. But it definitely would have really, really helped if they'd done it sort of weekly, just to help with discussion, to sort of keep it alive for a bit longer. Like, it's still the number one show, I think, in the UK, at least when you look on Amazon. So, yeah, but yeah, it would have definitely benefited from a weekly.
So, well, sorry, Drew, but before you answer, I have a reason why I asked that is because I want to follow up with this. If you notice, each episode starts with a previously on Fallout.
Yes.
So, like, at some point they thought about it and then they changed their mind, I'm guessing. Go ahead, Drew.
So, the weekly model, I'm going to disagree with you guys. Just for this season, there was a lot of adventuring, a lot of slow moments where you're supposed to appreciate kind of the world. And I feel like in a weekly model, I don't know if people would appreciate that as much, because you kind of want everything. You want to get some progress in the story. And I feel like this show, as great as it was, there was a lot of moments where they kind of hit pause on everything and really kind of took its time to develop the world. And I think that some people might have lost patience in a weekly model with that. Maybe just for this season, you know, next season we're kind of getting more into like the bulk of the story. So I feel like maybe there'll be more episodes will be more story heavy where they can do like a weekly model. But for this season, I kind of felt like it was a lot of introduction, a lot of like, you know, introduction to the world. So there was a lot of moments in the story where we kind of took a detour from the plot into like, you know, just some more like, you know, world building and stuff like that. And I think for that reason, I would say that this season, I appreciated that it came out all at once, because me personally, I wouldn't have got like impatient. I just would have maybe felt like some episodes left like a bit to be desired in terms of plot. Mm-hmm. So I think it worked well, but I think I wouldn't be surprised if they do a weekly or like they split it up in future seasons.
Yeah. So I noticed we really haven't gotten much into it, so I'm going to bring it up so we don't miss it. What were you guys' thoughts on the Brotherhood of Steel? To give you a little backstory, basically the Brotherhood of Steel is a religiously influenced faction that feels like they're the only ones that should have access to pre-war technology. As you can see, they have the massive airship. They have the power armor. There are some things that they say that I didn't catch. I was just so, my eyes were bulging out of my head, the fact that I was watching Fallout, you know. But they do make mentions of things like out east, about the Commonwealth, which is where Fallout 4 is set, over in the Boston area. But there at the end, I am forgetting the elder's name right now, but it's okay. It doesn't matter. But he mentions to Maximus that he wants to be the head and he wants Maximus to be his sword. Now, I remember in Fallout 3, Elder, I want to say Lyons, does something similar where he breaks away from the whole Brotherhood of Steel because they have, areas all over the United States trying to cover as much as they can. But what do you guys think about him suggesting that he's going to break off from the majority of the Brotherhood to do their own thing?
I think it'll be interesting to see where it goes because it does feel like the Brotherhood of Steel are a bit sort of like, you're like your big like army kind of, and it'll be, obviously when armies sort of break up and like there's infighting, it never goes well. I did enjoy the Brotherhood of Steel. Unfortunately, I didn't really enjoy Maximus as a character. I felt like there was just something, I don't know, something like he was just a bit too like me kind of character, where everything he wanted was just for himself rather than, or to like impress the Brotherhood of Steel. So I suppose that worked in like, I did like that part of the aspect, but yeah, I think the Brotherhood, they're definitely a very like interesting sort of, because in a way they're sort of like a bit villainous themselves. Like obviously they wanted the head, the cold, like cold fusion, to not give it to like the whole of Los Angeles. So if they got it, I imagine it would have been that they could have used it to maybe power the airship for eternity or whatever, and something like that. So it'll definitely be interesting to see what happens with Maximus, because obviously he was wanting to go away with Lucy at the end, but now he's been drawn back into the Brotherhood. So that'll be good, interesting. And I would like to see the power armors used in the past, because that was talked about a lot. The 45, was it? T-45.
T-45, yes, sir.
So I'd love to see what happens there, because that whole scene at the finale with the ghoul and like he knows the weak spot of the T-60s, that was some of like the finest sort of TV show filmmaking I've seen in a while. So I really enjoyed that as well. And I did really like the practical T-60s with just the bulk of them and like the size and all of that. So that was interesting.
Yeah, I can't say how important it was that the power armor was practical. Like, it just brings a new sense of realism to the show. I feel like if it was like a movie or something, it would have been like CGI, and
Absolutely.
like CGI is great, but it just takes away from reality in a sense. And VFX in the show was great when it was needed, but there was also a lot of practicality. All the sets seemed to be practical. It was a lot of makeup and practical sets and practical costumes and stuff like that. So I appreciate the power armor. The Brotherhood, I don't know, like I kind of get it, like the Brotherhood themselves seem like a pretty bad group. I mean, they just seem like a it's almost, it's cult-like. I think you see a lot of cults in this show, and there's a lot of flaws in that, but this they seem kind of selfish, and like they serve their own purpose. They don't serve the purpose of everybody. Like you said, they wanted the head so that everybody else didn't get cold fusion. But Maximus, I think they left a lot of room for Maximus to grow as a character, and I got that sense very early on in the show that this is going to be a character with a lot of like character development. I still don't really know which way he's going to go, if he's going to become evil or like become a bad guy, or if he's going to become a good guy. I mean, obviously, like he's kind of like the male protagonist kind of the show, and I guess it really just depends on how they want to go about that. If they want to, make it kind of, he becomes the cliche like good guy from the bad group, or if he ends up just becoming the leader of that bad group. I mean, that could be answered in the games. Obviously, I'm not sure yet, but I think Maximus is the character that they left a lot of the most room for character development. I didn't love him as a character in the first season. Just because he still seems like an immature character. And I think that's mainly because that the Brotherhood doesn't educate them in ways that they don't need, it seems like. Seems like they're educated on like a specific purpose, and everything else is kind of, they're not educated. So I think that he still has a lot of like learning to do as a character, just in like the general world. I think he did, like, there was some character development there, but he still has I still feel like, that character has the most development left to see in the show.
I want to mention some of the little things that I really hope to see in season two. So they were teased already in season one. So I understand why, and I'm assuming it's budget. And it's probably intelligent, you know, because CGIing, doing CGI for a super mutant is probably expensive and cumbersome. Same thing with the Deathclaw, but you see a tease of both of them. When Wilzig is escaping the Enclave facility, which, for y'all's information, the Enclave is the actual remnants of the United States government that were slightly prepared in the eventuality of all this happening. But this is closest to the American government you can get in the games. They're actually one of the bad guys in Fallout 3. But in the facility, he's walking out with the dog and he's getting scanned. There's a gurney that passes by and you see this monstrous hand. That's a super mutant underneath that tarp. So clearly they already exist, they're out there. And then when Hank is walking to New Vegas, you see a big skull with the horns. That's a Deathclaw. So those are two things I really, really, really need to see. One of the things I'm happy that they actually put in was Mr. Handy, Mr. Gutsy, the floating robot, you know, voiced by Matt Berry, which was one of the most delightful surprises in the whole thing. And how they went back and actually made him a character as Codsworth, who sold his voice to him and everything. I really did not expect that, but that was neat.
Yeah, I absolutely enjoyed Matt Berry. I think that was like one of the biggest surprises for me. And he was very much like, if any of you guys have seen Toast of London, I would highly recommend it because he was basically the same character as he is in that. And I think I've watched some interviews after it, and they had to convince him that it wasn't going to be the same character as he is in Toast of London because it was that similar. So that was very enjoyable. But yeah, sorry, I just had to get that in.
Oh
That
no,
was
yeah,
very
you're all
exciting.
good. I
You
want to
know,
see
that
him
would
come back for season two, if
yeah,
he,
absolutely.
even if it's just for more flashbacks. Just I need more of that.
Yeah, I love Matt Berry too, man. He's just the funniest, like one of the funniest actors like of our generation. Just a funny dude. Like, like I just started What Do We Do in the Shadows, and it's hilarious. Yeah, I love his inclusion in the show, even if it's so small. I still think it's great, and yeah, like you guys said, I hope he is in season two, like even if it's just in a flashback.
What do y'all want to see in season two?
More like, I guess more world building. Even though there's been a lot of world building, I feel like I said, you know, there's still a lot that like we haven't seen. I think more development. You know, like I said, I talked about a little earlier about the ghoul. I want to see more of Cooper. More of like his, more of how we got to that point, the first scene, and like what's the, you know, the first scene of the show, and where we ended off in the flashbacks. I'd like to see more in between that. I'd also like to see more about how he became this notorious, like, you know, ghoul kind of, like notorious bounty hunter, like the Mandalorian version of this world kind of.
Yeah.
I would like to see more with the vault. I really enjoyed going down into the vaults. I'd like to see some different vaults. I'm sure we'll see some different vaults. I'm sure they'll go into another vault or something like that. But you know, we the one thing we haven't talked about is they ended on the Vault 31. They ended on
Norm going into the cryo freeze.
is that the brother's name?
Yeah, Norm.
Yeah, Norm. Okay. Did he go in a cryo freeze?
It's
I think they
implied
left
though,
that like
too.
they
Yeah.
left that kind of
Otherwise, he won't get out, I think. So, but.
yeah, so I guess we'll see that in the next season. I'm really curious about that, how they're going to get him out of there, because I don't think that they'll leave him in there for the whole season. I think that we'll get some more development on that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm very interested to see what they do with, because obviously, I mean, I think the water thing isn't working, so they've only got like a few months left, so it'd be like it'd be interesting to see if they all end up having like a vault uprising, or because obviously they split them all into the different vaults at the end to try and repopulate everything. So it'd be interesting, you know, like will they all end up coming back together, or are they going to stay apart? Like I enjoyed the vault characters. I feel like they were all definitely very, you know, sort of like interesting different characters. But yeah, I'd love to see more of that for season two. Definitely want to see more like vaults and what other experiments there were I'd like them to go maybe even further in the past in the next season. So like maybe Vault-Tec's like origins, if they want to go that far back, might be
I
a
would
bit
love that.
crazy
I
to
never
throw that out
considered
there. Like,
that.
and I'd love to see like Cooper in the war with war for Alaska or whatever it is, some because obviously they've teased like that he was a soldier and all of this. So maybe going back to see how Vault-Tec ended up being so big and evil and all of that kind of thing would be a cool idea. I'm excited to see what happens with Hank McClane and like if he reaches the whoever's left alive of Vault-Tec because he was going to see his bosses or something at the end. Is that right? I don't know.
That's the
Yeah,
good
but
question to ask. Yeah,
yeah.
that'll be my next one. But I'm glad you mentioned the thing about Vault 33, though. I someone even told me in the Discord, and I just forgot about it, about the water chip. Fun fact, the first game, that is literally the plot. Your water chip breaks and they send you out on an excursion to go get another one. And by the time you make it back to the vault, they don't even want you to come back. So I wonder if they're going to do the same thing to Lucy, like, hey, no,
Well,
get
is
out.
Lucy going to want to go back at the end? That's the main thing, because now her father's evil. She's not really got any inkling to save him. So it all depends, I
Yeah.
suppose. But
And it makes me curious about her brother, if she's going to go back and try to get him. And it's like, where is he? Are the other vault citizens going to wonder, hey, what happened to Norm? He left and he hasn't come back. So
that's
those are,
probably what they'll do,
yeah.
honestly. They'll probably pick it up with like, where is he? And then, what was the guy, like the door operator? What was his name? Can't remember his
I
name.
can't remember right now
Yeah, he's like the
either.
only other one that knows anything.
Yeah,
I'm
the
still
guy who went and
impressed.
hacked the computer that went with Norm. Man, I can't remember his name.
It'll be somewhere, but
I would assume they'll pick up with like him and the woman. They'll be looking for him and stuff, but yeah, I definitely would like to see, I think you mentioned the origin of Vault-Tec and stuff like that. And is Lucy going to want to come back to Vault 33? And another question I had about the water chip is, does the water chip breaking in 33, does that affect 32 and 31 also, since they're connected, interconnected vault, or is it each vault has their own water chip?
actually, now that you mention it, I don't actually know. That's a really great question to pose. I've got to think about that. I mean, typically they all have their own GEX, which stands for Garden of Eden Creation Kits, and the water chip is part of that kit. So maybe they pulled the one from 32, but 32 just got repopulated from the
Yeah,
people from
so it's
33.
like
So yeah, that's actually a very, very good thing to ask.
that kind of feels like a little bit of a plot hole, because it's like, why would they go to 32 if 32 has their own water chip? Couldn't they just bring it over to 33? I don't know. I would kind of I kind of feel like it's like 31, 32, 33 are interconnected with the same water chip, maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. That's a question I'd like to see answered, even if it's like super minimal. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, certainly a lot of questions to be answered next season.
So I want to talk about the I have last two last questions for you guys, but well, you kind of already brought them up in a way, but let me just try to rephrase them. The final scene is seeing Hank walk up to New Vegas, right? So we're kind of assuming that he's there to see someone. Now, if again, unfamiliarity with the games, but in that flashback scene when they're having that big meeting, Rob House is sitting there. Rob House is essentially had his own vault, and he cryo-freeze himself in a manner. He put himself in like a stasis machine, and he's very integral to the plot of New Vegas. I don't want to ruin much of that for you guys since you haven't had the chance to play it, but it's going to basically bring up the question if he's still alive, because this is set around 10 years, 11 years after what happens in New Vegas in the game. But the question is, what do you think Hank is looking for in Vegas?
His leaders, probably, or like his superiors, like we said. And I think I had spoken, I texted you about it. I'm like, I think it's Cooper's wife. Like, I think she's one of like the overlords, and she's probably in New Vegas, and that'll be like a big twist next season.
I
Yeah, because
think
Hank
there's
was
gonna
his.
be, I think there's gonna be everyone from that board meeting in, because I think she got into the like super duper vault, which will have all of those other guys from the board meeting in. So I think they're gonna try and like reform America like with Vault-Tec. So maybe he's looking to them for guidance, or maybe there's like more nukes in New Vegas or something, and he's going to try and like blow up like Los Angeles now it's got more power or something, you know, like destroy it again. Because obviously, like the big thing of him dropping the bomb on Shady Sands to, you know, because they weren't ready to be re pop, you know, whatever the vaults are doing, right?
Yeah.
Re-educating America or something. So,
Rick like real I cannot speak. Rick like reclamation, that's the word.
Yeah, that was it. There we go. Yeah.
Which is what happens in Fallout 76, the MMO one. I've played a little bit of it, but essentially like when they get the all clear signal from Vault Tech, everybody exits the vaults and then they go to reclaim the surface. So that was the intention. So my last question for you guys before we wrap up. Now I know you all want to play the games, but what are you going to start with?
I mean, you gave me the order to go in. I think I'm not able to play like Fallout 1 and 2 just because like I don't have a PC yet. I'm
Yeah.
working on it, but I don't have a PC yet. I'm not sure that I'd also want to play those games because they are like
They're point and click.
thinking.
I tried playing them the other day and I did not do well. It was,
Yeah, I don't know if
I
I would be
genuinely
interested in that.
suggest just watch a YouTube video. Get about 8 minutes in, as soon as Fallout 2 part closes, close it, and then start playing the games.
Yeah, I'll probably do that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna like play Fallout 3, then New Vegas, and then 4, like you said. And those are the only three, right?
Correct.
I mean, you could play
There's some.
76, but like that's like different, right?
Yeah, it's an MMORPG and it's set in West Virginia, like out in the Appalachian Mountains, but I do know there's a story to it, and it does actually give a little bit more backstory to Vault Tech because you have to remember there's like this 100, 200, 210 year gaps. Information gets confused, it gets misconstrued, it gets lost. So I think 76 has a lot of backstory because it's closest to the bombs dropping.
Yeah, I definitely think maybe I'll do Fallout 4 first just because that's had like the PS5 upgrade and I've got a PS5 and I don't have a really powerful computer to play like any of the older ones, but I'll probably play that and then go back and do the older ones like in that kind of way. I mean, I can't find a copy of Fallout 4 anywhere. I feel like now the show's been out, it's gone really popular, like it's sold out literally everywhere. So might have to just
Wow.
buy that from the PlayStation store, but yeah, so I think I'll probably do it that way. And then yeah, we'll see, because I know they're talking about a Fallout 5. There was in another interview that I saw, I watched a lot of interviews after the show just to put that out there, but there was stuff they couldn't put in the Fallout TV show because there's gonna keep them for Fallout 5. So it'll be interesting to see what they've left out, if they could, like maybe they weren't allowed to do set certain bits or have certain characters. So I'll be interested to see that. But I would really like a new Fallout game. I think that's probably what they're aiming for.
I've had my
So
fingers
that'll
crossed for about 5 years since like this show first started gearing up that they're going to remaster 3 and New Vegas and make them more modern, because if you try to play them now, one, the graphics are you're just going to be like, man, this is an eyesore. Two, things crash a lot. I was playing New Vegas about a month ago. And I was like, man, I had my finger over F5, which is quick save, because I'd run into a building, boom, crash. I'd pull out my inventory, change guns, crash. So I'm really hopeful they do that. But you mentioning those interviews tells me it's something. Somewhere on this planet exists a document with some plot elements of Fallout 5, and that means I have to find it and read
Yes. Yes.
it. Yeah, but Fallout is a huge IP for Bethesda, along with Elder Scrolls. I'm sure you've played Skyrim at some point in your life.
Yes.
So
Many times, yeah.
there's no way that they don't make Fallout 5.
Yeah.
And it's been in development for a while now, but the show accelerated the conversation enough to where people are like, is there another one coming? Yeah, but you're going to be waiting a while. I mean, it's been almost
Yeah.
10 years since Fallout 4.
I'm kind of curious, like, what's the ending of the whole kind of big story of this universe? Because, and are they going to do that in the show, or are they going to do it in the like games? You know, like, I'm kind of, I guess I have to play the games first to see. I guess what the kind of point is that it's all kind of its own individual story, and Vault Tech is what makes it kind of one big story. So I'm kind of, this one certainly feels like it's very much so tied to like the main like epicenter of everything. I don't, do the games feel like that, where, or do they feel kind of like ambiguous, where they're kind of on their own?
Well, they all do reference one another. Like in Fallout 3, they reference the Institute, which is a big player in Fallout 4. And I didn't realize that until I played 4 and then went back and played 3. And I'm like, oh my God, did not catch that, you know? But then they also mention the stuff that happens out on the West Coast. You know, like if you play through New Vegas, you do stuff. And then there's a mention of it in 4. And you're like, oh, hey, wait, that was me, you know, or other me, whatever, however you want to put it. But the first few games start out on the West Coast. And then with 3, they moved to DC. New Vegas went back to the West Coast, but then 4 is now in Boston. I'm just hoping, man, I'm hoping that Fallout 5 goes to my home state and just does it and goes to Texas, because I feel like there's
Yeah.
so much to happen there. I mean, you see that big map there behind Barb, and you see
Yeah, and
all
all the
over the world.
vaults.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of potential. If not, go to
Yeah.
Florida, because I really want to see what radiated Gator would look
Yeah.
like and how big it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah,
But
because I know there was saying that they'll always keep it in America just because of like the, culture and like the Americana and all of that. But it would be interesting to see what the rest of the world looked like whether it is just America that's this desolate wasteland and like the rest of the world's like kind of fine or whatever. But yeah, but no, I'd be excited to see like where they go next, like maybe like destroyed New York or something, like you're just stuck in the city and you have to like, yeah, make your way around.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we're running out of time, but we'd love to continue the conversation. Check us out at thecosmiccircus.com, or you can find us on Twitter and other social medias at My Cosmic Circus, and our new Cosmic Circus podcast Twitter at Cosmic Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning into the Cosmic Circle. Again, my name is Anthony Flagg, and you can find me on Twitter at Radova underscore. Thank you, Cameron. Thank you, Drew, for joining me. But before we
Thank
go,
you.
where can people find you on Twitter?
I am Cam and Film on Twitter, all one word. So yeah, give me a follow if you want lots of Star Wars stuff and other bits that find interesting. Yeah.
So you can find me on Twitter. It's Drew Reed with 2 E's, 1099. That's on Twitter. You can find me there.
All right. You can find our podcast and more and articles, reviews on the website. Thanks again, everyone. I can't wait for our next trip to the cosmos.